translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O learned Brahmana, Shukadeva Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent, describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has different varieties of incarnations, including the Guna avatars, Manvantara avatars, Lila avatars, and Yuga avatars, all of which are described in the Shastras. Without reference to the Shastras, there can be no question of accepting anyone as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as especially mentioned here, Grinanti Kavayaha, the descriptions of various incarnations are accepted by great learned scholars with perfect intelligence. At the present time, especially in India, so many rascals are claiming to be incarnations, and people are being misled. Therefore, the identity of an incarnation should be confirmed by the descriptions of the Shastras and by wonderful activities. As described in this verse by the word Mahiyasaha, the activities of an incarnation are not ordinary magic or jugglery, but are wonderful activities. Thus, any incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be supported by the statements of the Shastra and must actually perform wonderful activities. Parikshit Maharaj was eager to hear about the Manus of different ages. There are 14 Manus during a day of Brahma, and the age of each Manu lasts for 71 yugas. Thus, there are thousands of Manus during the life of Brahma. Om Magyan Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Manvantare Hare Janma Karmani Cha Mahi Yasaha Grinanti Kavayo Brahmans Tani Novada Srinvatam. O learned Brahmana, Shukadeva Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent describe the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is demonstrating the qualification or the mood, the attitude that we should have, or if we don't have that attitude, the attitude that we should cultivate of how to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he says, we are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them. So we have to be eager to hear. And of course, it's not just words that Shukadev Goswami is speaking, because he demonstrated it in practice. He was so eager to hear that he was prepared to forego all eating and sleeping and just hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami. So this may be slightly beyond our capacity to hear constantly 7 days without eating and sleeping. But we should aspire, at least aspire for such a kind of hearing. And actually, I've noticed one or two devotees here who have that kind of, like a few weeks ago, there was one devotee who was meant to do the transfer. I won't mention any names. But a very nice devotee, very responsible devotee. But somehow or other, the transfer didn't get done for breakfast. And he explained afterwards that he just got so absorbed in the Bhagavatam class that he just completely forgot all about breakfast and doing the transfer. So that actually is what we need. We need to have that kind of eagerness to hear Bhagavatam, so that actually nothing else matters. Whilst we're hearing, we are actually associating with Krishna himself, because it's explained by Narad Muni, actually, who's another very good example, in the 5th chapter of Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami instructing the sages of Naimisharanya. He says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreyasaya Lokasya Danyam Svas Jayanam Mahat. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. So, just as we say that, you know, Nama Chintamani Krishna, the holy name is non-different from Krishna, actually the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. That's why, actually, when the curtains open or close, if you're actually reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it's considered not necessary actually to pay obeisances, because you're listening to Krishna. Better to pay attention to this form of Krishna, which is your main focus at that time. Of course, if the speaker stops and pays respects, then you have the opportunity to do that as well. So it just depends on the circumstances. But so it is, this Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And it's compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, who is also the incarnation of Krishna. So, somehow or other, we must develop this attachment, this eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because, it said in this verse, it's meant for the ultimate good of all people. Actually, this is the medicine, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, chanting the holy name is the medicine as well. But because we're Kali Yugaites, we need variety. We need different ways. We need so many different forms to keep us engaged. Otherwise, our tendency is we're always looking for something new, something different. So therefore, we need variety. We need deity worship. We need kirtan. We need japa. But we also need Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's extremely important. So we must develop that attraction, that desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention. It's explained somewhere, isn't it? I can't remember where, but that's one translation. With rapt attention. Because this will be our salvation. Of course, different people have different different propensities. So we may have more attraction for one aspect or another of devotional service. But we should, even if we don't have so much attraction for one particular aspect of devotional service, then we should still work on it. It's not like we should say, I'm not interested in this type of, I like japa. I only want to do japa, therefore I don't do kirtan so much. Actually, I'm a bit like that. I'm kind of into japa, but kirtan doesn't, somehow or other, doesn't, at the moment anyway, doesn't fire me up like some devotees are fired up by kirtan. But still, we should persevere. If we feel I'm not so philosophical or not so learned, then it's not a reason not to pay rapt attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, a very good example, apart from the one I gave earlier, of listening, very eager listening, was Srila Prabhupada himself. In fact, I'd like to read a little section from the Lilamrita, where it's explaining Srila Satsvarupa Das Goswami Maharaj. He's writing in the fourth volume about Srila Prabhupada's eagerness to hear. And it's actually very beautifully written section, so I'd like to read it, if, with your permission. I know reading is sometimes a little hard to stay interested, but I'll try and make it a little interesting, because it is very beautiful writing, I thought, when I read it last night. So first of all, it starts off with Srila Prabhupada speaking how he was working in Allahabad at the time as a pharmacist, and he hadn't really had much association with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He went to Mathura, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was just starting, actually, well, doing his parikrams of Rajmandala. And this was a new thing at that time. And so Srila Prabhupada went to meet them. So he was actually just going for one day. So Prabhupada speaks, "So I met them in Kosi, and Keshava Maharaj was informing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is going to Mathura tomorrow morning, and he will speak Harikatha this evening. Anyone who wants to may remain, or otherwise they may go to see Sheshashayi Vishnu. So at that time, I think only 10 or 12 men remained. Sridhar Maharaj was one of them. And I thought it wise, what can I see at this Sheshashayi? Let me hear what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati will speak. Let me hear." When Abhay arrived, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was already speaking. He sat with his back erect, a shawl around his shoulders, not speaking like a professional lecturer, giving a scheduled performance, but addressing a small gathering in his room. At last, Abhay was in his presence again. Of course, in case anybody doesn't know, Abhay is Srila Prabhupada's original name. Abhay marveled to see and hear him, this unique soul possessed of Krishna Katha, speaking uninterruptedly about Krishna in his deep, low voice, in ecstasy and deep knowledge. Abhay sat and heard with rapt attention. Oh, there we go, rapt attention. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had been speaking regularly about Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. Sambandha is the stage of devotional service in which awareness of God is awakened. Abhideya is rendering loving service to the Lord, and Prayojan is the ultimate goal, pure love of God. So Prayojan doesn't mean just bins and boxes. it means the pure love of God. He stressed that his explanations were in exact recapitulation of what had originally been spoken by Krishna and passed down through disciplic succession. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's particular utterance, mostly Bengali but sometimes English, with frequent quoting of Sanskrit from the Shastras, was deep with erudition. Erudition means learning. "It is Krishna," said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, "who is the only super lord over the entire universe and beyond it of Vaikuntha, the transcendental region. As such, no one can raise any obstacle against his enjoyment." An hour went by. 2 hours went by. The already small gathering in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's room gradually thinned. A few sannyasis left, excusing themselves to tend to duties connected with the Parikram camp. Only a few intimate leaders remained. Abhay was the only outsider. Of course, he was a devotee, not an outsider. But in the sense that he was not a sannyasi, was not handling any duties, was not even initiated, and was not traveling with the Parikram, but had joined only for a day, in that sense he was an outsider. The philosophy Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking, however, was democratically open to whoever would give an ardent hearing, and that Abhay was doing. He was listening with wonder. So that's another aspect we can develop. Wonder. We shouldn't have wonder, actually. It is actually wonderful. There's some very amazing episodes explained in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures. So actually, we should feel that this is something new and fresh every moment. Actually, it's only our kind of mundane mentality which makes us feel that, you know, I've heard this before. But actually, advanced devotees, not myself, but advanced devotees, they feel that they like to hear even the basics again. You're not this body, you're a spirit soul. They want to hear that again and again. And I've realized actually just recently that actually we forget very quickly. So quickly forget. And like you can chant 16 rounds in one go maybe. And then after a little while, you just forgotten all about it. Forgotten about chanting Hare Krishna. It's just so, in this day and age, it's just so easy to forget. So that's why it's Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Regularly and constantly hear from Srimad Bhagavatam is the... but when we are hearing with rapt attention and with wonder, so we can cultivate that mood of wonder, that actually it's wonderful. It's actually, but like was mentioned, I think a few days ago, that the tendency is to think that this is ordinary. You know, we've heard it all before, but actually it's quite amazing what we read in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll continue. Sometimes Abhay would not even understand something, but he would go on listening intently. In fact, I remember in Soho Street, where I started off my spiritual life, my spiritual home, as here, at that time we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita Saturdays and Sundays. And I remember the temple president saying, because devotees were asking, you know, sometimes there's very philosophical parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And devotees would say, well, you know, it seems a bit beyond us, actually. He says, it doesn't matter. You just hear, and it'll be purifying. Even if you don't understand. So this is confirmed that Prabhupada, obviously, he said that sometimes, he must have said that this was the case, or at least Satsvarupa Maharaj heard this, that sometimes he would not even understand something, but he would go on listening intently. Submissively, his intelligence drinking in the words. So that's another nice kind of metaphor we can think of, that we should drink in the words of this Srimad Bhagavatam. He felt Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealing to him the direct vision of the spiritual world. Just as a person reveals something by opening a door or pushing aside a curtain, he was revealing the reality. And this reality was loving service to the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, the supremely worshipable personality of Godhead. How masterfully he spoke, and with utter conviction and boldness. Unfortunately, we may not always have the good fortune to hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But one thing in listening to Bhagavatam and Bhagavatam class is that we should feel actually that whoever's sitting on the Vyasasan is really just a via medium. So we should try not to judge, you know, this person is a good speaker or not a good speaker or whatever, or this person is learned or not so learned. There's always something actually that we can pick up from that speaker, because they are actually just speaking on behalf of Srila Vyasadeva, all the previous acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada, and their own guru. So that's another way that we can cultivate this eagerness to hear, by not judging actually who's speaking, because actually Krishna can speak through anybody, fortunately. Anyway, that's my saving grace, I'm hoping. If we're actually willing to listen, and I'll continue. Abhay felt prepared. No, after several hours, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped speaking. Several hours. So he was listening for several hours. We only have to listen for like, you know, 45 minutes, probably at the most. Of course, we do have breakfast to look forward to, but still. After several hours, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped speaking. Abhay felt prepared to go on listening without cessation, and yet he had no puzzling doubts or queries to place forward. He wanted only to hear more. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made his exit, Abhay bowed, offering his obeisances, and then left the intimate circle of sannyasis in their row of tents, and went to the outer circle of tents, his mind surcharged with the words of his spiritual master. Now their relationship seemed more tangible. He still treasured his original impression of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the saintly person who had spoken to him on the rooftop in Calcutta. But tonight, that single impression that had sustained him for years in Allahabad had been enriched and filled with new life. His spiritual master and the impression of his words were as much a reality as the stars in the sky and the moon over Vrindavan. The impression of hearing from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was filling him with its reality, and all other reality was forming itself around the absolute reality of Srila Gurudev, just as all the planets circle around the sun. So that was a wonderful example of how to listen. Srila Prabhupada was giving us, so that we can aspire to listen in that way. So, also, there's a few more points mentioned in the verse and purport, that who to listen from. Of course, that's also covered in this section of Lilamrita, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. But, of course, Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, but he's also saying that he's referring to others, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent. So what does that mean, actually? Great learned persons who are completely intelligent. So actually it's those persons who are not speculating. They're not intelligent because they're coming up with new theories. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. They're greatly learned and they're completely intelligent. Why? Because they've heard, like Srila Prabhupada, from their spiritual master. And because they're just repeating what they've heard. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, he heard Bhagavatam, first of all, from his father, Srila Vyasadeva. And then he's just repeating. He's not inventing anything new. Just repeating. So that's real intelligence, actually. Excuse me. And what to hear about? Well, he's asking, actually he wants to hear the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. So, actually, does anybody know how long a manvantara is? Sorry? A long time. Yeah, well, 10 years is a long time, isn't it? Yes, it's in here. And any ideas in terms of years? 306,720,000 years. So, and there are 14 of those manvantaras, lives of Manus, in each day of Lord Brahma. I mean, that's pretty amazing, really, isn't it? We think we have a long life if we live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. My mother's 92. And everybody thinks, wow, she's doing pretty well, at least in terms of physical. But it's nothing. It's just the blinking of an eye. It's just fleeting moment, really. So therefore, you know, we're in this time frame, this flash of lightning. Our life is like a flash of lightning, actually. So therefore, we have to hear about the eternal, the spiritual, the activities and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in each manvantara, there are different appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada focuses mostly in the purport on Shastra, that we have to accept who are the incarnations of Godhead, because there's many rascals posing as God. I don't know about in India, maybe there are still a few people who are posing as God, rascals like that, I don't know. I haven't met any personally, and I haven't met anybody in the West who actually claims to be God. I don't know if anybody else has. But still, Prabhupada is saying that the only way we can really know who is an incarnation of God is via the Shastra. Because it's always said in the Shastra, it's explained who the Lord is, who his parents are, who his father is, and where he's born, like that, so that we can know that is a genuine incarnation of the Lord. So Shastra is so important because we've got this threefold check: Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So Shastra is often thought of as being the fulcrum, the pivotal point. It's the law books, just like Srila Prabhupada said that his books would be the law books for the next 10,000 years. But one important point is that actually law books on their own are not enough. Just like we have laws in the common law of the land, or the statutes of the land. But on their own, what good are they? They have to be applied. They have to be interpreted. So therefore, we have so many other institutions. We have the courts. We have the legal profession, who are actually explaining or applying the law. So in the same way, we have to, although the Shastra is very important, but this day and age, unfortunately, we're not very capable of understanding actually the relevance of the Shastra to our lives in this world. So therefore, we have to have Guru who can, as an individual, or to us as individuals, apply it. This is how it applies to you. This is what you should do in your time, place, and circumstance. And then we have the Sadhus, who gives such a variety of understanding of a Shastra. so that we so that we can get depth of understanding, and also to give us a balance, so that when we read the shastras, when we get instruction from the spiritual master, then we can put it in perspective, and also we can judge, you know, that actually what the spiritual master is telling me is correct. So, for instance, Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj, the episode of Bali, there are quite a few in this canto, this eighth canto, there's quite a few chapters devoted, I think maybe 8 or 9 chapters, devoted to the pastimes of Vamana Dev and Bali Maharaj. Now, Bali Maharaj was learned enough to know that when his spiritual master, Srila Shukracharya, when he told him not to surrender to Vamana Dev, he knew that he was off. And so he ignored his spiritual master's instructions and just went ahead and surrendered to Vamana Dev. So like that, we need all three. But because also another point is that even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita himself, he says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvando Nichasattvasto, Nir Yoga Shema Atma Vam. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. And he says, O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So, most of the Vedas actually are giving us fruitive activities. In fact, Vyasadeva himself was criticized by his spiritual master for giving too much of a mundane or fruitive activity, opportunity to the living entities of this age. And Narad Muni said, well, actually, they'll just take advantage of this. And they'll just think that, we can do some pious activities because it's sanctioned in the scriptures. And then just enjoy ourselves, just to have, and therefore forget the true goal of life, which is actually to go back home, back to Godhead, the spiritual world. So, in fact, just to, He's in speaking Suta Goswami, in speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, he describes actually what such words are. He says, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. So there's so much literature around in this day and age, but most of it is like a pilgrimage place for crows. But he says, since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So this is what we're aspiring to be, all perfect persons, completely intelligent. And actually, we are residing in a transcendental abode. This abode of Gokul Dham, the abode of Sri Sri Radha Gokul Ananda, Sita Ram Lakshman Ham, is a transcendental abode. So we shouldn't derive any pleasure in any other literature other than Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and other, obviously, authorized literatures. Because Narad Muni says, actually, it says in the verse book that verse I just quoted from is Sudhagav Goswami, but actually, I'm pretty sure that's a mistake. It's actually Narad Muni instructing Vyasadeva. But anyway, the next verse is Tadvag Vishago Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhajavachapi Namanyanantasya Yashon Kitani Yat Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadava. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So that's our goal, just to hear such descriptions, transcendental descriptions of the glories of the Supreme Lord. And this will bring about a revolution in our own hearts, step by step, gradually, and then in society in general, which is described by, which is translated by Srila Prabhupada as this world's misdirected civilization. So this is our goal, to accept the Srimad Bhagavatam as non-different from Krishna, as the literary incarnation of Krishna, and to distribute it as widely as possible. And then we will create a revolution, not only in ourselves, but in the world, in general. So I'll stop there if there's any questions or comments.